From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On the previous program, Dr. Cairns began the first message in a series of studies in the life of Abraham. During the next number of programs, Dr. Cairns will seek to draw important and timely lessons from the life of this man who was called the Friend of God, a man whom God saved out of idolatry, brought him into the land of promise, and made him the father of the children of Israel. This first message is called The Conversion of Abraham. The text is Acts chapter 7, verse 2, in which Stephen begins his defense before the Sanhedrin by saying, "The Lord God of our fathers appeared unto Abraham." As we'll see, Abraham's conversion is parallel to all other instances of God's saving grace. In the first place, the Lord revealed His glory to Abraham, an event which changed his life, as it does in the case of every redeemed soul. Dr. Cairns will continue the message in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to a devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Never Cast Out. The text is John 6 and verse 37. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Is there any instance of our Lord's casting out a coming one? If there be so, we would like to know of it. But there has been none, and there never will be. Among the lost souls in hell, there is not one that can say, I went to Jesus, and He refused me. It is not possible that you or I should be the first to whom Jesus shall break His word. Let us not entertain so dark a suspicion. Suppose we go to Jesus now about the evils of today. Of this we may be sure. He will not refuse us audience or cast us out. Those of us who have often been, and those who have never gone before, let us go together, and we shall see that He will not shut the door of His grace in the face of any one of us. This man receiveth sinners, but he repulses none. We come to Him in weakness and sin, with trembling faith, and small knowledge, and slender hope. But He does not cast us out. We come by prayer, and that prayer broken, with confession, and that confession faulty, with praise, and that praise far short of His merits. But yet He receives us. We come diseased, polluted, worn out, and worthless, but He doth in no wise cast us out. Let us come again today to Him who never casts us out.
My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in His hands. Of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold, His coffers are full. He has riches untold. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. I once was an outcast stranger on earth. a sinner by choice and an alien by birth, but I've been adopted, my name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe and the crown. A tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still I may sing, oh, glory to God. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. A child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior. I'm a child of the King.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We appreciate the letters, emails, and phone calls we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS Audio Magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS Quarterly Magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest, as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS Audio Magazine simply by writing to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's LTBS, FREEPRES.ORG. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, are there true prophets in the church today? Or, why does God allow suffering? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
make three very simple but far-reaching points, and they will open up to us not only the story of the commencement of spiritual life in Abraham, but they will open up the story of God's saving dealings with all His people. First, the Lord revealed His glory to Abraham. We read, it was the God of glory who appeared to him. And you know, that revelation instantaneously and forever changed his life. It turned him from his idols once and for all to serve the living and the true God. When God reveals himself to sinners, you know, he shows them many things. He shows the sinner his sin. He shows the sinner his need. He shows the sinner his danger. He shows the sinner his total personal inability to do anything about his spiritual state before God. He brings the sinner to an end of himself. That is shown graphically in the life of Abraham, in that God toppled the idolatry of Abraham. It's shown graphically in the life of Paul, in that Paul was thrown to the ground. Great American preacher, T. DeWitt Talmage, preached a sermon on this, and he spoke of the proud horseman unhorsed. Paints a beautiful picture of this great Pharisee proudly riding on his way to Damascus to destroy the cause of Jesus Christ. And with one beam of the glory of God, he struck from his horse, blinded, he's left on the ground. God showed Saul of Tarsus what he showed Abraham, a lot about himself in that moment. God does that with sinners. This is an imperative part of God's dealings with souls through the gospel. To show them their sin. To show them their need. To show them their danger. To bring them to the end of themselves. But most of all, God shows His own glory. That's the biblical definition of conversion. You have, in the words of 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, a better biblical definition of conversion than all the theology books in the world could ever give you. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul said, you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. When God saved Abraham, He showed His glory to Abraham. When God saved Paul, He showed His glory to Paul. When God saves any sinner, finding him in the darkness of his sin, He shines into his heart with the light of divine revelation, the light of divine glory. That is true conversion. When that happens, we find just what Abraham found, and we find what Paul found. This glory, Paul said it was above the noonday sun. I think Abraham found the very same thing. That's a transcendent glory. That the glory of the noonday sun is the brightest glory known in nature. But the glory of God outshines it all. There is a truth that all the glory of nature is but a dim reflection of the glory of its Creator. The glory of God is a transcendent glory. It's a transfixing glory. Neither Abraham nor Saul of Tarsus could go another step on the road that they had been traveling once the glory of God dawned upon them. Thank God it's a transforming glory. Changed Abraham, as we'll see in a moment. Changed Saul. It changes the life of every man, every woman,
upon whom it dawns. And it's not just a once-for-all disclosure. The God of glory appeared to Abraham, but he didn't simply appear for a moment or two and then leave him. When he met Saul of Tarsus in the Damascus Road, he didn't simply give him a beam of light for a second or two or a minute or two and then leave him. No, there was the continual disclosure of the glory of God to these people. And that's exactly so in the life of every Christian. What did Paul write to the Hebrews? We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. And that is the constant vision of glory. Better still, the full vision still awaits us. For the Son of Man, Jesus tells us, shall come in his glory with all the holy angels, and he shall sit upon the throne of his glory. When that happens, then the great faithful vision of John the Apostle will come to pass. When he said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, that is when he shall appear in his glory, we shall be like him. That's the ultimate realization of conversion. That's conversion taken to glorification. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a day that will be. That's the future of every converted soul. In other words, God saves you by revealing his glory. He continues to keep you revealing his glory. And then he brings you in to the very glory of his presence, to be with him for all eternity. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11, many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. What will happen then? The Bible tells us very clearly, according to Isaiah 33, thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. Thine eyes shall see the King in all his glory. The God of glory appeared to Abraham. God showed Abraham first his glory. But the Lord also showed Abraham his grace. Now, as I said, Abraham was an idolater. That's hard for some people to stomach. The Muslims and the Jews have some very pious fables about Abraham that sort of try to take the hard edge off the statement of Scripture regarding Abraham's early life. The Mohammedans have a tradition that Nimrod, and here you can see where they have stolen part of the New Testament story and worked it back into their own particular mythology. But they have the story that Nimrod was forewarned, and therefore he commanded all the male children of that time to be slain. Abraham was that boy, and he was wonderfully preserved, secretly nourished by his mother taking him to a cave where God provided very special and supernatural food. He stayed there for a long time, according to the Muslims. And then finally, when he came forth, on stepping out for the first time from the cave, he saw a beautiful star. And he said, thou art my God, I will worship thee. But after a while, the moon arose in all its fullness, and it seemed to him to outshine the star. So he said, thou art no longer my God. The moon shall be my God. I will worship thee. But after a while the night passed, the moon with it, and the sun arose. And so he said, I will not worship the moon, I will worship the sun. Thou art my God. But then, of course,
the sun set as well. They turned to his mother and they asked, "Who is my God?" She said, "I am." "Who is your God?" "Your father is." "Who is his God?" "Nimrod is." "Who is his God?" And every mother here will know how this feels. She felt this was going on long enough and she just slapped his face and told him to shut up. Asking too many questions. The Jews join the legend at this point, and Terah, they say, was an idolater, right? One day went on a journey and he said to Abraham, his son, "I want you to look after the idols that I have made." For he not only worshipped idols, he made them and he sold them. "I want you to sell them in my place." A man came to buy an idol and Abraham said, "How old are you?" He said, "Well, I'm 60 years old. He said, "Shall a man of 60 years buy and worship the thing of a day?" And he went away and didn't buy an idol. A woman came with a votary offering for the idols. She said, "There's a bowl of flour, place it before the idols." And Abraham took it off her, smashed the idols, and then put the staff with which he had smashed them into the hand of the largest of the idol figures. When his father came back, what happened here? He said, "I can't hide it from you. She gave me a bowl of flour to put in front of them, and I put the bowl of flour there, and the gods all started fighting among themselves as to who would get first feed at the trough, as it were. And so the biggest of them, he took this thing and he smashed every one of them." And his father said, "What fable are you telling me? Have these things any understanding?" And the story is that Abraham replied, "Do thy ears hear what thy lips utter? They have no understanding." Upon which he was taken to Nimrod. To cut a long story short, he was put to the fire. It took a month for them to build the pyre, but God preserved him in the fire. And those days of the burning were ever the most precious in the rest of his life. Pious fable. Maybe some truth that at some stage before he left Ur of the Chaldees, Abraham witnessed against the idolatry. But the whole idea behind these fables is entirely mistaken. The idea is that Abraham surely could not have been an idol worshipper. Otherwise, God wouldn't have revealed himself to him. God wouldn't have chosen him. God wouldn't have made him the great man that he became if he had been like everybody else, an idol worshipper. That's the mistake behind the Jewish and the Muslim fable. Joshua makes it clear. Abraham worshipped idols. God did not call Abraham because he was godly. God called him when he was ungodly.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.